Radio for a really great future. We're talking real money.
Welcome to Talking Real Money, the podcast. Hello, everyone. I'm Don McDonald, and right over there, just 3,000 miles away from me as the crow flies, or as the aircraft fly, is Thomas Charles Cock II, or J.R.
Oh, I never even considered that. That would have been a great idea.
Yeah,
but that's so long ago now that no.
Yeah, it would. No one would get it today.
No, it wouldn't work.
So you could, but you could be. You could be a Dallas bigwig, something like that.
Was it?
Larry Hagman.
Larry Hagman. Yeah, sure, of course. Yeah.
From Dallas. Wait, what was it? What was his previous claim to fame? Do you know what Larry Hagman's previous claim to fame was?
I love Genie, right?
I dream of Genie. Dun, 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 dun. Boy, are we old people. Dun, dun. All right, moving along.
I love that show.
Yeah.
I can do that with my nose, too.
You cannot do that with your nose.
That was
Bewitched, wasn't it?
You're right. That's a different show. I'm getting them all bundled up together.
It's because we're old. Another thing that we love, he said with tongue firmly planted in cheek, is the windfall question. I just came into, somebody just left me, I just got a gift of, which is the first part, that's fine. We don't mind that. It's the question part that immediately follows. And what should I do with it?
That is the number one question and you can still ask us this. It's okay.
But it's our still, number one question.
It is the number one question over the history of the program. I came into whatever money, or I sold something, I got the money. And interestingly enough, this last weekend, the Wall Street Journal and their Wealth Management Journal report, they have about a 3,000-word article entitled, How to Handle a Sudden Financial Windfall.
Wait a minute. Hmm. You can read a 3,000-word story?
I didn't say I read it. I just said had one.
You are no Bankman-Fried.
Exactly. I can read 200 words and send your money to somebody else. It's an interesting piece. Okay, but in fairness, this article is about like a windfall, not like a windfall.
Okay, but still, does it give any of the advice that people are looking for about the windfall, the investing part of it?
Well,
I know there's other stuff.
Do they
give any of that?
No, because the thing is, you're right, Don, everyone who calls us wants to know, I have $200,000 I didn't think I'd have. What do I do with it today? They don't want to do all the first part.
We've heard it for a million.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. We have.
So does it talk about the first part? The part
does,
that we think people skip. Okay, well then good. This gives us an opportunity to give all of you a little question guidance.
But
what needs to precede the what do I do with it?
Yeah. And I'm gonna go into my suggestions for windfall, but I find it fascinating. The first thing they say you need to have if you come into a multi-million-dollar windfall is a confidant. Somebody you can share things. Now, I have that in my life. I have you.
Yeah.
But
and I'm so far away, it would be hard for me to steal your money.
The second key, here's where the trouble somewhat starts, is the team of advisors.
Wow, a team, huh?
Yeah, looking at the finances, mortgage, credit card debt, college savings plan, charitable giving, et cetera, et cetera.
Couldn't that just be an advisor? Oh, okay. No, you need lawyers and accountants.
Guns and money. If you get $100 million, and there are people that specialize in this, I guess we should have. When you win the lottery for $100 million, call us. Until then, don't. But there are people that, have family offices that manage ultra high net worth families. They know attorneys that can write all kinds of fancy legal documents to protect you. Here's what I worry if you don't have this established, if you don't have people that you think you should be able to trust prior to this, guess what? When you come into $100 million, there's going to be a lot of people.
I'm telling you.
And people have been stolen from in these instances.
Not that she would have ever stolen, ever. But when my wife was a budding broker, with Betcher in Colorado, a budding Betcher broker.
Yeah.
Very alliterative. When she got the information on somebody who won the lottery and cold called him.
There you go.
And that's what's going to happen. Because
that's how you guys met, right?
Yeah, I was the guy. Winner? I was the guy who she cold called. And I went, well, you know, if you go out with me,
not
maybe
give
I'll
you
let
my
you manage
money,
the money.
I'll fall in love with you. That's a different deal. It's a fascinating. So anyway, and then there's a study that they cite, and it says, by the way, this is fascinating. Over the long term, how people choose to spend their windfall has the greatest impact on their overall happiness. I don't know that I
well, I, no, I know what they mean by that. And yeah. I think this thing refers to the rarest of all windfalls.
Yeah, this
the
is,
rarest of all, which is big lottery winnings. This
yeah,
is the
big.
When you get into the, yeah, the eight figure winnings.
Yeah.
Because
okay.
really any more, seven figures is just upper middle class.
Doesn't really do that much. And
it doesn't
by the way,
make you special.
This study also asks, and I'm going to ask you, the question, can money buy happiness? Don, can money buy happiness?
The lack of it can certainly lead to unhappiness, so I would have to say yes.
Compared with other life events, money does little in terms of life satisfaction and happiness.
I disagree.
Says one of the doctors on there.
Because not having
doctor,
it is so
then?
Miserable.
Are you a doctor?
Well, no, but when did this doctor ever know poverty?
Good point. It says people overestimate its effect on their happiness. They think if I just had X,
okay,
I'll be
I
happy.
I agree with that. There has been study after study that found that at a certain point, more money doesn't improve happiness.
No.
But there is a scale over which, you know, as you make more to a certain point, you get progressively happier because your comfort, your security level rises. People are, as we know, they're comfort and security seekers. We're
Absolutely.
Looking for that safe cave
yep.
to hide in.
That's
and
right.
if we can't afford that safe cave, if we've got literally wolves at the door trying to kick us out of that safe cave or take what we have, what few rocks we have in that cave and foreclose on them, we're not going to be happy. We're going to be scared. We're going to be uncomfortable. That's why I say money can buy happiness. But no, would $100 million versus $10 million? I can't imagine it.
No, I don't think it is. Okay, but that back to the windfall with a lowercase w, because I just got asked this not long ago, actually, by somebody who's not a client. And I made a little list. First of all, there's a couple easy ones. Any debt, frankly, almost any debt. I mean, the only one you might keep is mortgage interest debt for taxation reasons, but anything should
well,
be.
Well, or if you have a 2% mortgage.
Yeah, correct. That's that I was trying to imply that. But yeah, I mean, that would be gone, right? Then right. you got to look at your short-term savings, right?
Okay.
Then your long-term savings.
Mm-hmm. This is mainly emergency money you're talking about.
Yeah,
savings.
Exactly.
The stuff you might need in the next 6 months or the stuff you might need in the next
yep.
2 years.
And this should be, by the way, already in a plan you have anyway, so that if you came into money, it would simply go into the places that you were planning to put money, as it were. I advocate two other things to consider for people that come into a windfall. Now, windfall's different than selling a house per se, right? Because that should be part of your overall financial plan. I recommend, I really do, something fun. You could leave your house in Florida for 10 or 15 minutes, Don. It wouldn't, you know.
No, it's too stressful. I'm just going to stay here.
And then considering.
I'm having too much fun right now, Tom.
Considering.
Yeah.
You know, and this is something that we could all consider during the holiday season, Don.
Yeah.
Something charitable, helping others. Because we do know that that does lead to greater happiness.
Thank God for this program. I got it all covered. All right.
All right. But here, let me tell you the mistakes I
see. I don't have to do anything else.
All right. Let me
see. What are the mistakes I'm making?
You're being charitable by having me on the show. I get it.
Well,
okay. That makes sense. I got it.
By providing this wonderful service for America.
I see. Okay, got it. Here are the mistakes as a practitioner that I see. Number one, and this goes through almost everything else we always say. People don't have a plan. And they don't even have a plan after they come into $1 million. They still just say, well, you know, uncle, they hand it out. We see this with professional athletes, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you see it with everybody.
You do. They come everybody. In the money and they think, I got this pot. It's never going away. They don't have a plan. Number two, they have a tendency, and I've seen this one too. People have a tendency to say, okay, well, this is unexpected. So I'm going to do XYZ project, whether that becomes a small business, a restaurant, or remodel in my house. And they don't have a budget for that. So it'd be like you and I buying something, you know, like we could buy Manchester United for $7 billion. But then not having the capital to operate it.
Really, Manchester, you would buy a sport that would bore me to tears?
I'm sorry.
Really?
Okay. All right. We could buy.
It's going to be a very one-sided partnership because I'm just going to be napping up in the owner's box.
We can't buy the Broncos because they were just sold.
They just bought.
The Raiders, you can't because the – anyway, I have a whole other
reason. No, that family – well, they're all vampires.
Yeah.
They're all vampires. No, there's
plus,
no
– plus the haircut that goes with it I'm not getting. So at any rate,
is that a required uniform to be the Raiders owner?
Good Lord. So I mean, because people have a tendency to think I've got all this money. It's never going to come to it. They don't have a plan. Right. And so if you already have a financial plan and you come into money, then you know where the whole, I'm going to put a little more in here, a little more in there, et cetera, et cetera. But people have a tendency not to do that. But
can I tell them how to improve the question?
Yeah, please do.
I just came into a bunch of money. What should I do now?
Oh, that's far better than how do I invest this now?
Right.
How do I make money on the next 2 years now?
What is the next step?
Yeah, very good. Okay, so now you know what to ask us in coming podcasts and call-ins. So, by the way, if you got the windfall, God bless. I'm happy for you. I always am. People tend to be shy about this, like, oh, I'm really sorry. I'm not sorry. I feel good for you. Or if you bought Apple at $3 and whatever, then and you made all that money, I'm not mad.
Don't bring up Apple in case my wife's listening. She's still mad at me.
You got one who does.
So. She's still mad at me for telling her to get out of Apple when Steve Jobs died. I said, just come on. Get out of this silly thing, you know, because she was a stock picker. And I said, stop it.
Yeah,
and then of course she got mad at me because I told her to get out right before it went up and never stopped going up.
Exactly. And although this year has been, it's been tough on it like the rest of the techs. But anyway, all right.
Oh, and by the way, since we mentioned the plan thing, if you have come into a windfall and you want to start.
Our minimum's $100 million. I should have mentioned that at the beginning of the show.
It's not. No, I'm not saying you should hire us necessarily. You might.
For $100 million,
but what
million,
I am
sure.
saying is instead of going to the what should I do with it question, because if you go with the what should I do with it question, you will find 10,000 people within a 100-mile radius of you who are more than willing to put you into some products and sell you some stuff for a commission. If you really want to ask the question, what do I do now? Well, let one of our advisors answer that question, and I bet you'll find they don't say, go buy a mutual fund or an annuity right now. They're going to say, you got to have a plan, and they'll sit down and talk with you about that plan, spend some time with you, some real time with you learning some real stuff, and they'll do it for free. Just set up an appointment at talkingrealmoney.com and go to meet an advisor, talkingrealmoney.com, click on meet an advisor. Now, do we have questions?
Yes, we have questions. I've got one from Lisa in Aptos, California. Don't know the city myself, but apparently it's in California somewhere.
It's right at the end of the apt feet.
Aptos. Okay, Lisa writes, would a 100% allocation to Avantis AVGE in a Roth IRA be too risky for a 28-year-old?
No. There you go. Next question.
AVGE, which one is AVGE?
That's the total market one.
Ah, okay. So that's the total global market.
And it's a nice small and value tilt already built into it. So the answer is very simply, we don't have to pad this out. No.
Also, would you add an additional small cap value using AVUV? No, you don't need to do that. That's already built into AVGE.
You got a tilt built in. If you want to tilt even more and increase your volatility, okay, because you're 28. But the big trick is, not it's not age, it's what are you going to do when it goes down? And you notice I say when. Most people don't say when, they say if.
Yeah, I know, it's when.
Yeah,
it's when.
A when. It's the one thing we guarantee everybody. Yep. When you invest, really invest, at some point you will lose money. Guarantee it.
Not like putting it in a crypto exchange that takes it and hands it to somebody else.
No, that's as safe an investment as it can possibly be.
Sorry?
That's as safe as they get.
Let's see. Lisa also wrote, this is mom asking the question. I've been following you guys for a while now. Took your advice to move my hodgepodge taxable account out of EJ. You know who that is, right?
Yeah, he's a builder I know here in town.
EJ.
Yeah, I know
Jones.
Who EJ okay. is.
And have been
Mr. Joe.
Has been transitioning out of my high expense mutual funds to low cost ETFs, Vanguard and Avantis. Thank you for all you do. Love your podcast.
Love your letter, Lisa.
You how about or that? All right. Feel better?
I feel better.
Okay. A little gratitude in the holiday season. Never.
Tis the season to help others. But for now, we're going to end this show.
That should be it, too. Good night.
It is it. Goodbye.
We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for informational, educational, and hopefully enjoyable purposes only.
Providing personalized financial planning or investing advice takes time, so please consult with a really good fee-only fiduciary investment, tax, or legal advisor. We know a good one. Investing must always involve risk. In other words, you can and probably will lose money at times.
Also, as much as you want it, no one can accurately and consistently predict the future.
So past performance doesn't tell you a darn thing about what the future will bring.
Unlike many other programs that say something similar, Talking Real Money is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities.
Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Appella Capital, a fee-only registered investment advisor.
Thanks for listening, and please visit TalkingRealMoney.com for more information and disclosures.
Are we done now?